Blog Talk Radio.
You are muted.
Good morning, ladies and... No, I'm not. Okay. No.
They're waiting on Michelle to go live on Facebook. So look at your top left of your screen.
It just says recording.
Right. So you're not live on Facebook yet.
Okay.
Why are you looking to the left?
Because that's my left.
On your screen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Live. We are here every Saturday morning, and I am excited to be here with you today. My name is Dr. Peter A. James, and I'm excited to dive into our Think and Grow Rich text every single Friday morning. But folks, I am not alone. I have a panel of phenomenal hosts, but also a special guest that's going to join us this morning. So thank you so much for being with us. Grab your cup of coffee, settle in, because we're going to dive into this Think and Grow Rich topic. But without further ado, let's just talk about who we have with us this morning. So let's start out with Ms. Ursula Odom. Good morning to you, Ursula. How are you today?
Good morning. I am absolutely wonderful and excited about hearing what we have to talk about today and our guests, because this is Think and Grow Rich. So we're talking about the brain and what we think. So I am Ursula Odom, CEO of Sula 2, and we make old, new, and everything that we do. And today, old thoughts, new ideas.
I like that. I like that, Ursula. Old thoughts, new ideas, for sure. Good stuff. Well, good to see you this morning. And we also have the master wealth builder, Ann McNeil. Good morning to you, Ann. How are you doing today?
Well, today is a very special day since I am coming to all of you live from my annual Life and Legacy Island Mastermind Retreat. So, you know, I am very excited as I look out over the ocean, but I could not be more excited than to be here. Couldn't miss it, Tara. I couldn't miss it. So I moved everything around just for you today. I told everybody else, let's chill out for an hour. I'll be right back. So talking about the brain being a broadcasting and receiving station, where else could we all be than right here, right now, learning more about how to receive and send those messages? So Ann McNeil, the master wealth builder, helping entrepreneurial and professional women get greater clarity in their highest income producing business and life areas. Thank you.
Ann McNeil, wow. Actually, we're just honored to be here in your presence, of course. Thank you so much for joining us from the beach, where we are all not so lucky. We'll say that this morning. But listen, we are excited to be here. Not only are we on Zoom, we are on Facebook Live. We are on Blog Talk Radio. And if you are listening or watching this show today, there are many different ways that you can get in touch with us. Send us messages on any of those formats, or dial into Blog Talk Radio to ask your question. But we want you to connect and talk to us this morning about the brain, which is Chapter 12 of Think and Grow Rich. But without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce our distinguished guest, Tara O'Toole, Tara Clancy. Tara, good morning to you.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well, and ladies and gentlemen, Tara O'Toole, Tara Clancy is the essential sleep strategist who works with clients who want to reclaim their energy, their focus, and their productivity, and do it all naturally. Tara, that's interesting. You got me hooked already, so tell us a little bit about yourself, if you could.
Oh, absolutely, Peter. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with all of you. It's really an honor. So thank you for that. And I'm really excited to be able to talk today about the brain chapter specifically of Think and Grow Rich, because it's so central to the success of everything. So some people often ask me, you know, why O2 Tara Clancy? And it's because I am a breathing specialist, a Buteyko breathing specialist. And what I really do through that is help people get the sleep that they need. I help them uncover and recover from hidden sleep problems. And we'll see as we talk today how essential that is to really think and grow rich overall.
You got me hooked a second time already there, Tara, because I value my sleep a whole heck of a lot. But then I notice a lot of times that my brain is going 100 miles per hour oftentimes. And if I wake up early, I'm thinking about a whole lot of different stuff. This morning I was thinking about study habits for my 12-year-old daughter. Crazy. Don't ask me why I was doing that, but I was. And so I'm just really interested in identifying or helping me to identify how to better improve my sleep patterns, number one, but also how the brain plays into all of this, especially from a Think and Grow Rich perspective. So give us a little bit more about your background, a little bit how you started out, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, you know, like most people that really delve deep into something and really are passionate about it, because I lived it, right? I found out about 6 years ago that I had actually been dealing with a hidden sleep problem my whole life. And so I had this an ever-growing list, really, of small, seemingly unrelated problems that were just stealing my physical energy, my mental energy, and my emotional energy. And the thing is, when there are these very small problems that sort of build up, you very slowly start to, you know, have a decrease in how you feel overall, but you don't really realize it because it happens so slowly. And so it just is your normal. And so I'll just give you an example when, it got successively worse. And I remember probably about 3 years ago, I woke up one morning, and this is when I'd been doing quite a bit of work to correct all of these hidden sleep problems that I had, and really making gains. And I woke up and that was such a weird dream. It was one of those ones where, you know, you're driving in a car with a sister who's not, you know, you know it's your sister, but she's dressed in a cow suit, and you're on a highway, but in Antigua, but you're like, I know I'm in Connecticut, and all, you know, and you're like, that was really weird. But then I stepped back and I said, wait a second. What's even weirder is that I had a dream that I remember. And then it dawned on me, I had not remembered my dreams for ages. And that was really a big sign of the fact that I was not getting the sleep that I needed. I was getting really counterfeit sleep. So that's really, you know, part of that was a big turning point for me where I said, wow, I'm really making gains in terms of getting the right kind of sleep. That would help me. I kind of liken it to a cell phone. So think about at night, what do we all do? We all plug our phones in to charge. Then we wake up in the morning, we run out, we've got 100% of the charge on that battery. But have you ever had the occasion where you forgot to charge your phone? You run out and you're like, oh, geez, I got to get on the charger. Next thing you know, the phone's in low power mode, shutting down. It's a really powerful tool if you have a full charge. And if not, you're stressed over it, you can't run the app, you can't do all the stuff that you need. And our brains are really the same way. When we go to sleep at night, if we don't get the right kind of sleep that we need, we've got this incredibly powerful tool, right? Great potential, but we can't really access it unless we have a full charge.
Good stuff. Wow. You're fascinating. Yeah. Just overall, I'm thinking about that cell phone. It just made me anxious just thinking about a low cell phone for sure. Well, let's dive into the book a little bit. And we have more questions for you. But before we go into this Think and Grow Rich aspect, I want to ask Ursula to introduce our near and dear book to our hearts and talk about these 13 principles. Ursula.
Yes, we work from we work from this book, Think and Grow Rich, by Napoleon Hill and Ross Cornwell. There is a method to this. Study was done and steps were formed and a roadmap created for us to follow. And that's what we do each Saturday morning and then throughout the week in our lives. And we share it with you as we grow with Think and Grow Rich. So the 13 principles, we actually have a presentation that will be shared with you this morning to give you an idea of what we're doing.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically. But we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts. Use the knowledge. Use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. the principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
Good stuff. Those 13 principles are the backbone of this this phenomenal book here. And Tara, I want to lead off these questions for you around Think and Grow Rich, especially this chapter there we're talking about the brain, which is also known as the broadcasting station in this book. And this chapter 12 of the book says that it requires the subconscious mind, the creative imagination, auto-suggestion, which are also other principles and chapters of this book, to really help to stimulate the brain. Tie that into a little bit to what, how you're talking about sleep and how this brain is so, so important as we think about Think and Grow Rich. If you could come off mute, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let's just think about, you know, if you have a night, let's say you go to bed with a head cold, right? We've all done that. And you wake up, you know that you have not gotten a good night of sleep. And what does that day turn out like? Let's say, you know, you're not, it's just a head cold. You're not sick enough to have to stay in bed all day, but you do go to work. You're just weighed down. You know, you don't have the energy that you would normally have to bring to task physically. You don't have the focus, you know, the mental energy that helps you really get through the day. And you probably don't even have the emotional energy where, you know, somebody is just like, please don't ask me a question now, or I've had enough. It's just, right, it taxes us overall. And so that's when we know we have a bad night of sleep. But there's a whole other kind of situation where you go to sleep, you get 8 hours of sleep, and you wake up, and you're either tired when you wake up, or you're okay when you wake up, but then pretty soon you're reaching for a cup of coffee, you maybe even rely on power naps, or you might even be like me and take up some adrenaline-seeking, you know, exercise like rock climbing, you know, in your 40s because you just need something to get you through the day. So all of those things, your brain is basically functioning at less than optimal when you haven't gotten that good night of sleep. And if you are if you have the head cold, you end up, after a couple of days, you feel a lot better. You end up kind of getting back to a regular sleep schedule, and then you'll be back to yourself, and your days will be good, and your workflow will be good, and your emotional energy will be good, physical energy will be good, all that. But if you have this hidden sleep problem that's giving you counterfeit sleep, you don't actually realize why you can't focus on tasks the way you used to. You don't realize why you're just tired and you know, you won't schedule a meeting after lunch because you know you just might fall asleep during it, you know? Or like I said, it's like how many people in their 40s take up Ironman trainings and Tough Mudders and all these things? It's really adrenaline-seeking behavior. You're looking to really pump up the adrenaline to keep you going because you're not getting the sleep at night that allows you to recharge your brain. And so if you're walking around, like we said with the cell phone analogy before, if you're walking around with a partially charged battery, right, or partially charged brain, you do not have the energy that you need to bring to task. And so if we think about all of the steps of thinking, grow rich, and your brain being the very core, that broadcasting and receiving station, if it is operating on a less than fully charged battery, everything is going to be impacted.
I liken it to a fog oftentimes if you don't get enough sleep or if you don't get solid sleep that night. I think about if you're ever on an airplane and you're trying to sleep, that sleep on an airplane is never adequate. And so you think you got a little bit of sleep, but it really didn't work out for that matter. So interesting conversation. I could sit here and go backwards and forth with you all day about this, but we have some other hosts who will probably get mad at me if I did that. So Ursula, think about this brain sleep conversation. It's a little interesting, huh?
Oh, it is. And in fact, I've been thinking about a lot of things. I portray Mary McLeod Bethune, and I know that the world was changed by three dreams that she had. And they gave her direction. Now, at least one of those dreams, she was actually sick. And tapped into her subconscious mind. So with your being a self-proclaimed neuroscience nerd, can you put all that together? The brain, the subconscious, being ill, and then being successful with it?
Well, yeah. I mean, being ill may mean that she was ending up sleeping more. And basically what you need to do when you're sleeping, you have to get low part of REM sleep, right, REM sleep. There's also this other critical non-REM sleep that is just really we've discovered through neuroscience and all of the technology we have to look at the brain. And that is where the critical work in the brain happens of repairing itself and recharging itself. So what typically happens when you go to sleep, you'll be in very light sleep at first, and then you'll take a deep dive, and you need to stay in this deep sleep, this non-REM sleep, for a sufficient amount of time for the brain to get to do its work. So if you don't get to stay there, right, if you get pulled up, like Peter mentioned, being on an airplane, you might be going into that, and then all of a sudden, a little turbulence, or a stewardess comes by, all of a sudden you're back up again. So you don't really get to allow the sleep to do, you don't get at the right state of sleep to allow the brain to do the work that it needs to do. And so maybe by the fact that she was just sleeping more, because when you're asleep, your body has more repair to do, right? So maybe she was getting into that deep phase of sleep longer and staying there long enough to be able to really get into the dreams and really access them, and being well rested enough to wake up and actually remember them. That'd be my best guess for that, getting that in a dream. A big sign of people not getting the right type of sleep is, like I mentioned before, if you're not having dreams and you're not remembering your dreams, that's really telling you you're not cycling through at night the way you need to. So use that as an indicator. I actually have a quiz on my website for people who are sitting here saying, I wonder if maybe I'm not getting, maybe I'm getting some form of counterfeit sleep. The quiz walks you through a whole bunch of really surprising and seemingly unrelated things that actually go back to sleep. And it's like I said before, if you think of the brain as the command center of the body, because it is, right? It's what controls absolutely everything. So if the brain does not get to recharge itself and repair itself sufficiently every night, then you wake up and you've got a commander who's a little bit off. Everything in the body is going to be affected then as well, because it can't command all the systems in the body in the way that it could if it were properly charged up.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Actually, Tara, you have, by that answer right there, I just have a ton more questions, mm-hmm. especially around, because I don't remember most of my dreams very rarely. I want to ask about the amount of hours that are so debatable. I want to ask about naps too, so I'm gonna come back to that. I'm gonna let Anne McNeil here jump on in though, because I know she's got some very in-depth questions, especially around Think and Grow Rich and the brain and sleep. So Anne.
Well, Peter, you just asked the first question I had on my list here, which was the number of hours, but we'll come back to that so we can all know whether or not we're normal or not. My question I like to ask all of our guests, Tara, is really your first introduction to this book.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share that journey?
Sure thing. So I am really a newbie. It was only in June of this year that I really learned about this book. And pretty much right from the get-go, I mean, it was such a game changer for me. I had been doing a lot of work before to kind of move myself forward as an entrepreneurial professional, and I felt like I was making gains and everything, but I thought, there's something else that I feel like I need. And I happened to find out about this book, and I joined a mastermind group, and I mean, literally within 2 weeks of starting to read the book, like two chapters in, it was just like I felt like such a shift in my thinking, and I could see it in my work too. I mean, I scheduled a new client out of the blue. Somebody just contacted me. Another person had contacted me about doing some work directly for their group where I didn't even do anything to directly kind of bring that work in. But as we know from the book, that once you start thinking a certain way and once you start applying those principles, it starts to come to you. And that's exactly what I saw. I mean, amazing. I mean, I'll just say this. I wish that I had heard about this book when I was younger. And I have a 17-year-old. And after I got my copy and started reading it, my 17-year-old now has a copy of the book. And I'm thinking about even getting one for my 12-year-old. I might wait a little bit on that one. But it really has been a phenomenal change for me. And like I said, I'm like sharing it with everybody. And I'm like preaching to the choir here. I know that you guys know how valuable this whole process is.
You probably touched a button for Ann, and at least for me too. And you said wait on the 12-year-old. And I know you got something to say about that, right? Ursula, you know me too well. Too well. Tara, my 4-year-old.
Oh, really?
Granddaughter, 4-year-old, walked in and left the book on the bed. She was 3 at the time. And I was sharing with some of our mastermind members. She was 3 at the time, and I walked into the room where she was visiting us, my husband and I, and she had the book up, and she was slowly reading the words.
Wow.
And then I got my video camera because nobody would believe this story, right? So I've been in standing in the door. She don't see me. She's not, you know. So I took my camera first and started snapping, and I said, no, Aunt, you got to video this, because I could hear her slowly making through different words. Until I recorded her just long enough for her to peep over the book, see me recording her, and she did this. No, and she put the book down. My point also is this. I was going to share when you started talking about thinking a certain way, which actually comes from the Science of Getting Rich, and I was going to say, you must be here at this retreat, because a lot of what you just said about the shifting of the thinking, and we are actually at every meal here during my retreat, we read The Science of Getting Rich. Each person, every meal, reads until one person has an aha moment. So if you nod or you grunt or you everything stops. You must share, and then it's your time to read. But I want to share with you, you just blessed me when you said you just picked the book up in June. Because many of our listeners think, I wish I would have, could have, should have started a long time ago. But the best time is right now. So if you are listening to this podcast or watching this live stream, or you're currently listening, please share this philosophy with everyone, no matter the age. So please, thank you, Ursula, please give this as a gift to your 12-year-old, and I want to also encourage you in the fact that we do host a mastermind group for kids every Sunday for 30 minutes. We can talk offline, but every Sunday at 30 minutes, and they do exactly what we do, which is to read, share, and do a breakout. So thank you so very much, Peter. I'm going to go back to you because I really need to hear this answer about how long.
That's wonderful, though. I'm so excited to hear that, Anne, and I thank you for sharing about your granddaughter's age, because I'm going to order a copy for her now.
Never too young. Never.
Well, Christmas is coming up there, Tara, so you might be right on time for sure.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Again, very insightful about sleep cycles overall. Talk to us a little bit more about this dream thing and us remembering our dreams a little bit, and how important that is to get into that deep sleep every night, because I don't remember my dreams as much as I need to. I it's very rare. So I want to just hear a little bit more about that, how that affects the brain.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we start with the other question that you had earlier, too, about the amount of time, right? We know that many of us don't get enough sleep, and that's a problem, but also getting too much sleep is a problem as well. And so if you think about, you know, if you, there are really like two types of people. There are people who are feeling great, and then there are people who aren't. And those people who are feeling great, I am going to tell you, hands down, that they are getting the sleep that they need every night, and it is the right kind of sleep to allow the body, the brain, I mean, to repair and recharge. And then everybody else, and it's a large percentage of us because of our modern lifestyles, everybody else really needs to give some attention to their sleep so they can move out of the not so feeling so great category and move into the great category. And I know because one of them, it's possible to do at any age, just like picking up Think and Grow Rich is great to do at any age. Work on your sleep at any age. So the main thing to think about is to not fall into the trap of thinking that you're not feeling great for some reason, let's call it reason X. Maybe it's because, wow, life is so busy now and the kids are young and you're running, so of course you're going to feel tired, right? Maybe it's, I know that with the stress at work right now, I'm under the gun, of course I'm going to feel tired. Or maybe you're thinking, you know what, this is just part of getting older. Well, no to all of those. What I want you to really consider is that if you're not in that feeling great group, first and foremost, look at your sleep and see if it really is doing for you what it should be doing. So how do you know, right? If you wake up in the morning and you feel great and ready to go, you can say, hey, there's a good chance that my sleep is doing what I needed to do for me. If you don't, then you know, you really need to start looking. Now, it could be that you have a sleep, if you wake up and you're not feeling great, you're not feeling rested, it could be that you have a sleep hygiene issue, right? We've probably all heard of sleep hygiene, meaning you're not really taking care. Maybe you went to bed too late, so you didn't get really the 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep that we all really and truly need. Or maybe, you know, you have, like me, I have a three-month-old puppy in the house now who's been really good most nights, but some nights she's waking me up at 2 to go and, you know, I'm getting up. So that is a sleep hygiene issue because my sleep is being broken, right? So there are reasons that you might have sleep hygiene issues. You're not really getting the quantity of sleep that you need. Those are relatively easy to fix, right? Because it's a matter of like a checklist. What am I doing that's not letting me get into bed on time and letting me sleep through the night? So go through all sleep hygiene things. And I have a sleep tips thing that people can subscribe to really nail down the sleep hygiene. If you do that and you're still not feeling great, then you need to look at sleep integrity. And that's where the breathing piece comes in, because sleep integrity means that you are getting into that stage of sleep that you need to, you're staying there long enough, and then we basically cycle through the night. But in the beginning of the night, you need to get into that deep phase of sleep, stay there for about 2.5 hours, come up through lighter phases, and then go back down again. So like I said, if you're not feeling great, think about sleep integrity as a problem. And the number one thing that really causes sleep integrity problems is your breathing. And so that's really where the O2 piece comes in, because if you really want to solve your sleep integrity problems, you have to really work on your breathing. Now, we all breathe. We do it all the time, right? It has to go to the back of our minds because it's our most basic physiological function. We can't be thinking about it because we never get anything done. So we're lucky in that we can send it to the back of the mind so it's really happening without us thinking. But there's also a trade-off. Because of that, we end up adopting some habits that are really going to take away from our breathing, and really we end up adopting poor breathing habits. And we get by with them during the daytime, but at night when we go to sleep, those poor habits really interfere with our sleep, and then we really, you know, suffer the impact of it.
Wow. Just lots of stuff. Those of you who are listening, our audience, if you have questions, please don't hesitate to jump on into the chat on Zoom. If you are on Facebook, then make sure you type in some comments or questions for sure. Again, as I mentioned earlier, Tara, I could sit here and talk with you all day. Even the breathing topic has forced me to think about meditation. But I want to go back to that question I had earlier about naps. Uh-huh. And Anne and Ursula, please don't let me just take this conversation.
Right. I do have a question when you're done.
Please. Okay, let me, about naps really quick. I get some naps in every now and then, but are naps adequate? And how long is adequate? Because I read a lot of conflicting information about those as well. So please.
Yes. All right. So I was the queen of napping, like the queen of the power nap. I mean, I could go in. I didn't even have to set an alarm. 20 minutes in, out, woke up feeling great. But I needed that nap every day. And I never thought anything of it. I thought it was wonderful. But what I realized is it really was a sign wasn't doing what I needed to. If we really do get the right kind of sleep at night where our brains get to repair and recharge, then we don't need naps. We don't need caffeine. We don't even need adrenaline, because the brain is sufficiently charged. So if you are needing a nap, like let's say you do have a head cold and you know you had a poor night of sleep, right? Then you should have that nap, because it's going to compensate for the problem of sleep that you had the night before. So in that sense, napping is fine. It's a Band-Aid, right, to help you make up for the fact that you were asleep, you didn't get to sleep the night of sleep that you needed. But if you find, like for me, napping is part of your daily routine, that is a huge indicator that you really need to look at your sleep integrity.
Wow. Well, Ursula, I know you have a great question as well. What do you think?
Well, actually, this goes back to something Anne says, how with Thinking Grow Rich, there's that telepathy type thing, and there is no accident. Prior to the show, I realized that a habit that I engaged in yesterday was paying off last night in not such a good way, because I didn't get as much sleep as I wanted to. But you started to say something, and you took it back. You said when you don't get enough sleep, it has an impact on the brain, but you started to say body. Now, what I came up with was a quotable statement that I wasn't going to say until you said that. And I said, you know what I have to do? I have to use my brain to protect my body so my body can protect my brain, because my brain is what I got. And so when you were talking about, when you said that, it reminds me of the connection of the brain and the whole physical being, you know, because everything is affected by that, physical, emotional, and everything else.
Absolutely. Well said. I mean, you know, think of when I read Think and Grow Rich in all of the chapters, I am astounded by the references that Napoleon Hill made to really what we consider mind-body connection these days, right? But I have notes in the slide where I'm like, gosh, how did it take us this long to realize this? If he was really talking about this all these decades ago when the book was published. But that's exactly right, Ursula. It is. The brain is what's going to protect the body, and then the body is going to protect the brain. But let's just go to the caffeine example for a minute. So let's say you're feeling, you're tired, right? And you're like, I have a call coming up or whatever, yet another Zoom, to do. And you say, I'm going to have a cup of coffee. So what happens? Do you get a pickup in your energy? Sure, because the caffeine is giving that to you. But in the long run, what is happening? Your body is now running you're in your sympathetic nervous system mode, which means your body is just charged up. You're running on adrenaline kind of thing. So overall, you're doing damage to the body when you don't heed to the signals that your body is giving you. In fact, if you look at the literature, you'll see that things like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, blood pressure, certain cancers, a wide range of things are actually related to sleep integrity problems. And it goes back to what we're just saying. When the brain isn't able to do its job effectively, every system in the body is affected. And then therefore, when every system in the body is affected, how do you sleep? Let's say you get an injury, right? Let's say you sprain your ankle or something. How do you sleep that night when you're in pain? Pretty poorly, right? Yeah. So if your physical body is constantly being underserved, really, in terms of sleep, then it's going to affect your brain. Your brain's going to affect your body, and it's this downward spiral. So that's why I say if you are not in the group of people who feel great, then look at your sleep and work on your sleep so you can get into that group of people who feel great.
It's so funny that you said caffeine, because I was going to add to my comment that for those people with this creative imagination, I just drank a cup of coffee last night too late.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it does have benefits, right, where, you know, you do get this late charge, you get that second wind, and you get something that you weren't even expecting, you know, and maybe it allowed you to really, you know, broadcast and receive in a better way somehow, but we can't do it endlessly, because
right.
You will feel the effects of it. And when people say, hey, I had a friend who used to say, I don't have time to sleep, you know, they're like, okay, you're going to run out of time, period, a lot sooner than you want to. You know, we have to realize that, you know, letting our bodies and our brains get the right amount of sleep is the best thing we can do if we want to be energetic, focused, and productive.
Great conversation, great questions, Ursula, as well. We have a question that came in from Catherine, especially relative to this oxygen thing here. She says, please talk to those of us who sleep with covers over our heads in relation to oxygen. Is that impeding the oxygen getting into our system, into our brain ultimately? What are your thoughts on that, Tara?
Well, I think it depends on just how fully you cover it, you know, and there'd be variations. But in general, I would say if you are cocooned, you're going to be rebreathing the air that you've exhaled. And that is not a good thing, you know, in the long term at all. So if sometimes I'll put a blanket or something over my face, but I make sure I've got a little funnel coming in so the air can circulate. It's almost like with all of us wearing masks now, what are we doing? We are re-inhaling our exhaled air, and that's why I just read an article yesterday about dentists who were talking about dramatic increases in oral cavity problems because that air is unhealthy. It's full of microbes and all these things. And so there's a dramatic rise in that, you know, so it's like you have to weigh is the solution better, a bigger problem than the original problem itself, you know, or even that they say that you're more likely to get an upper respiratory infection if you wear a cloth mask because it's a breeding ground for germs, you know. So, yes, the question of the blanket, I would say if you're doing that, if you need that to sleep, definitely do it, right? Because you want to make sure you can get the sleep, but figure out a way to bring in fresh air so that you're not rebreathing your exhaled air. Because when we breathe in, it's oxygen and a variety of things, but when we breathe out, we're expelling carbon dioxide. And here's a side point, not to get too technical, but we used to think of carbon dioxide as a waste gas. It's just something we breathe it out and it's done. But we actually realized carbon dioxide is essential to the functioning of the body. It's how we release the oxygen from the red blood cells into the muscles. So, for example, if you're an exerciser, say a jogger, and you're running along, you want to make sure that you are always breathing through your nose, right? What happens if you are jogging and you get tired, you start breathing in your mouth because you're like, through your mouth, that means you're like, ooh, I'm not getting enough air right now. But it's actually kind of shooting yourself in the foot because when you breathe in through your mouth, you throw off the balance of gases. So even though you're taking in a ton more air, your body can't release that air from the red blood cells into the muscles. So they're like really practical kind of implications for this. Breathing through your mouth also increases nasal congestion. If you actually look at my books back here, they're written for kids. I'm not for kids, but for parents about kids. But it's all about having an open mouth. And when we breathe through our mouths, we really, really do ourselves a disservice. And we set ourselves on the path to having these, ending up with counterfeit sleep, basically. So you really, really want to make sure that you're breathing healthy air, and you want to make sure you're breathing it through your nose.
I just have one more comment, I guess, or even question. This is a moment where science and politics just collide, okay? what you said sounds and probably is absolutely scientific, but I balance that with the amount of death that we have seen in the last several months. So is it that if we could do something for a month or 2 months and save hundreds of thousands of lives, would it be worth going to the dentist a little bit more? So I'm just wondering, how do you create that balance when you're talking the science of breathing for your personal health with the science of killing somebody else?
Yeah, let me just ask a clarification. Did you say should we go to the dentist a little more?
Yeah, that's what I said.
I mean, honestly, what we should be doing right now is making sure that people are getting the sleep that they need. And if you look at, I think, in India and another country, they just started a mass distribution of vitamin D to people,
yeah.
Right? Because vitamin D is so critical to your sleep. I actually had a little article in Speaker Magazine, National Speakers Association, and I believe you can access it online even if you're not a member of National Speakers Association, but it basically was just five things to do in fall to get to make sure you're getting the right, you know, healthy restorative sleep. And one thing in there is to make sure that your vitamin D level is sufficient. And for many of us, especially those of us who live like in the Northeast and above a certain latitude, you are going to have deficient vitamin D levels. And when you have that, your sleep is absolutely impacted. They actually don't even consider vitamin D a vitamin. They consider it a hormone because it impacts everything in the body. So if there's one thing that we could be doing now to help people to really survive this epidemic, I would say get your vitamin D level up to the optimal level. And for most people, it's between 60 and 80, even though the RDA is 30. If you're at 30, you're pretty much deficient. So if you get between 60 and 80 for most people, again, you'd have to check your levels and you monitor how your sleep is responding to your vitamin D intake. If you get up to that level and you're getting the sleep that you need that repairs and recharges your brain every night, your immune system function is going to be so much stronger that instead of being somebody who is a victim of COVID-19, you'll be somebody who encounters the coronavirus and remains asymptomatic. So that would be hands down the number one thing that I would recommend to help you get, for a blanket approach that would be easy to implement in a pandemic. Like I said, that's why two countries are doing that already.
And McNeil, I want you to ask a question, but also take us into the accountability meeting that we have annually here at Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Live. But such a lively conversation, Ann, isn't it?
Well, listen, I'm excited again because I've taken my vitamin D for the day, and I've been doing it for years, and I really didn't realize the impact. And as far as the sleep, for those people that know me, I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment on that. I would like for you, please, you gave us one of the things to do from Speaker Magazine. Could you give us the other four that you mentioned?
Oh, yeah. Sure,
and
sure.
In addition to that, for the benefit of our listeners, could you also share the link in the post, in the chat, so that people can go to your website and take that test?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so the things first for the in NSA magazine. The first one is to try to get early morning sunlight exposure. So Anne, you talked about walking along the beach this morning. That's excellent. When you get up in the morning and you get bright sunlight, that starts kind of resetting your circadian rhythms for the day. So you're going to be in a better position to fall asleep at night if you sort of kick things into gear in your body with that early morning sunlight. So that's the top one. 10 to 15 minutes of early morning sunshine is great. And as you get older, you may find that you need more. Second thing to do is sleep in complete darkness as much as possible. And that's because the body is super sensitive to the differences and of you know, light and darkness. And melatonin, which you may have heard of, which a lot of people take to help fall asleep, it's something that your body produces naturally. So if you've triggered, you know, the circadian rhythm changes in the with the early morning sunlight, and then at night your room is in complete darkness, and your body it signals your body to say, hey, it's time for sleep now. Even something as little as the light from a clock radio can be disruptive. So you want to, you know, shut off the phone, cover up the clock radio. I actually switched to battery-operated small little alarm clock so that I don't have the light coming in. It really, really makes a big difference. And let's say you live in a more urban environment. I used to live in a more I'm in the country now with blackouts, so I could get lost in my house now. But before, there was a lot of ambient light that was coming in. Even though I had the blackout curtains, it was still coming a little bit from the sides, and I didn't realize how much that was impacting me. But if that's the case, if you really can't get your bedroom to be really dark, consider wearing a mask then, because that really will help you avoid disruption while you're sleeping. It will help you stay in that deep phase of sleep. So that's the second one. The third one is to get some exercise outside each, and that's particularly important if you live in, like where I do, up in the Northeast, where we have very controlled air and very controlled air climate, especially in winter, right? We have the heat going all the time. But it's also very important if you live someplace warm where you have the air conditioner going. If you're in any kind of air-controlled environment, you want to get outside for at least 10 to 15 minutes a day, again, to get some exercise, because that helps you get out of that recirculated air, because that ends up being very drying. And also, if you are in the same body of air all the time, you can develop sensitivities that will end up causing inflammation and congestion, which makes it hard to breathe through your nose, and then you end up breathing into your mouth, and then we're back to the problem that we talked about before. So getting that exercise outside is very important. And one caveat on that, when you're outside and you're doing that exercise, you make sure you breathe through your nose. Even if you decide, hey, I'm going to do my jog now, I'm going to do some rapid walking and I'm getting a little winded, don't fall into the trap of breathing through your mouth, because it will shortchange you down the road. If you are jogging and you feel like you're not getting enough air, slow down just a bit for a moment until you do feel like you're getting enough air and you know, enough that will allow you to continue breathing through your nose, and your body will acclimate. I'm actually writing a book called Is Your Sleep Making You Tired? And I interviewed a dentist who does a lot of work in this field of people who are struggling with sleep. And he also happens to be a marathon runner. And he told me he's been running marathons for 26 years, and it was 10 years ago that he realized the importance of nose breathing instead of mouth breathing. And for the past 10 years, while he's been exclusively nose breathing, he has done better in every marathon than he ever did before, even though he's older. So the nose breathing is really critical to all that. That's why if you look at my books here, the titles are, Is It Bad If My Child Keeps Her Mouth Open? Or Is It Bad If My Baby Keeps His Mouth Open? Because that's really the gateway to all these sleep problems. So when you're outside getting that exercise or anything else, breathe through your nose. Okay, the fourth tip was about the adequate vitamin D level. Remember, it's between 60 and 80 for most people, but you want to first and foremost see how you are responding, right? You know, you'll notice a difference. If your sleep is not great because of vitamin D insufficiency, you'll notice all of a sudden when it hits that sweet spot for you. But definitely monitor it with blood level testing to the doctor so that you can make sure. It's a very powerful vitamin. As we said, it's a hormone, so you don't want to go over. And then the last thing is to really know the telltale signs of it. Some of the things that we've talked about already, about not remembering dreams, you know, ever or anything like that. But also, if you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom ever, that's a sign of counterfeit sleep. If you wake up with a dry mouth in the morning, that's a sign of counterfeit sleep. If you drool on your pillow, that's a sign of counterfeit sleep. So, and there are many, many other signs. And again, that's in the quiz on my website to sort of help you connect the dots between all these seemingly random things, you know, to really help you see if you may be getting counterfeit sleep, and you can see what you need to do about your sleep integrity. Because there are things that you can do. And like when I work with clients, I have a 4-week program that we do. I mean, hands down, most people within 1 week say, I cannot believe how much better I'm feeling, because a small amount of effort really starts bringing you over very quickly. So it definitely can be, if you're getting counterfeit sleep, you definitely can get better sleep and, you know, move over to that feeling good group pretty quickly.
All right. So I just want to make sure, as I prepare to give our comments about the annual meeting, if you can put that in the chat, and we'll make sure we share it with everyone that's on Zoom and also everyone that's on Facebook, so they can connect with you on your site. Thank you so very much. And I was doing okay until you got to the counterfeit sleep. So based upon that, it sounds like it's something that I need to put on my goals for the annual meeting. So every year we host an annual meeting for your life. And if you're listening to me, I'm talking to you, whoever you are in the future, in addition to right now, just imagine you have goals and plans for your job. You have goals and plans for your business. And you are being held accountable to those goals and those plans based upon the profit that you generate that helps to determine how well you're doing and being accountable. Well, who's holding you accountable on an annual basis for your goals and your plans for your life? Here, while at this retreat, one of the things I'm focusing on for my clients is the fact that you are the corporation and you have 10 departments. So just imagine if you are a publicly traded corporation and your shareholders would determine on an annual basis whether or not they're going to reinvest in you based upon how you manage the 10 departments. So on January the 8th and 9th, we will be at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Boca Raton. Yes, we're wearing our mask, and I have my mask right here in the room. But those 10 different departments that we encourage you to set goals and be held accountable and come join us by bringing your life in writing, they are goals that relate to your spiritual, your family, your financial, your health, your education, your personal development, your business or your career, your recreation, your creativity, and your civic areas of your life. We set those goals for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and right now I am in my 40th year of these goal setting processes and accountability. We use the book and the principles from Thinking Grow Rich. And that's how we mastermind. So we will look forward to seeing you in Boca in person if you're willing to join us. Yes, please bring your mask and your hand sanitizer. But you can go to the International Masterminders with an S.com and you can register there. So with that, Peter, turn it back over to you.
Yeah, great stuff. For those of you who have never been to this annual meeting, I highly encourage you to make this a priority as we're nearing the end of the year, getting ready to shift over into 2021. This annual meeting will not only be great for this coming year, but great for your life. And take it from me, from someone who's been there for sure as well. Wow, we are nearing our time. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, we are going over a little bit today, but we have wheels down right now, and we're going to conclude this conversation. Tara, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to ask our host here to give us any parting notes, make sure that you let the audience know how to get in touch with us. Ursula, let's start off with you there.
Well, I'm like Anne. The counterfeit sleep? Oh, I'm so guilty. Lord, have mercy. So that's been an aha for me, as well as the whole cell phone charging idea, because I personally had that experience yesterday where I thought my phone had stopped charging. That was the most stressful thing. So totally will reevaluate some of the things that you mentioned today. Thank you very much for that. And as for getting in touch with me, Sula2.com and YouTube, if you type in Sula, space T-O-O, you can connect with me and see a couple of things that I do to capture, preserve, and present legacy information for you.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Ursula. And McNeil, please let the audience know how to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. And I just posted something for you, Tara. We had a question, so I just want to make sure that you see that so that we can, out of respect, want to thank all of our listeners and callers and those who are chiming in. And we did have a question from David. So I just, David Emmanuel, so I just put it in your chat, and you can chat back with him and respond to that. But again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I'm very excited also to help entrepreneurial women get greater clarity in their highest income-producing areas of their business and their life by hosting retreats like the one that we're on today. You can reach me on all the social media platforms, but please subscribe to my YouTube channel at Ann McNeil. Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Anne. Tara, this has been such a lively conversation. I was remiss in not mentioning all the chat and the comments that have been coming across, just lots of lively information and comments that really reflect the insight that you've blessed us with this morning. So please let us know how we can stay in touch with you moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. My website address is Tara at o2tara.org. It's O, the letter 2, like oxygen. And as I said, I have a quiz right on there for adults and for kids that'll really help you connect the dots between what you're feeling and how it may be related to counterfeit sleep. And then, you know, you can get sleep tips and stuff. And I have programs as well, if you know, if that will help you. So it's o2tara.org.
Awesome stuff. Tara, once again, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us. Ann McNeil, Ursula Odom, thank you so much for being phenomenal hosts. My name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the High Performance Coach, and you can reach me at Dr. Peter A. James on any social media platform or at shiftyourmindset.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today with another episode of the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Live. We are here every single Saturday morning on Facebook Live, on Zoom, on Blog Talk Radio to really come into your lives and help you to think and grow rich. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you. Take care and please be safe.
Thank you.
Goodbye.